Maybe if I get this thing on, you'll hear me over the rain, huh? We've been needing rain. And God provides. When we least expect it. Anybody have to swim to church this morning? Yeah? One did? Okay. Thank you for making it. How'd you get so dry? Okay. Oh. Well, thank you for being here with us to worship the Lord. And part of what we've been doing lately is we've been going through a series called The Kingdom Handbook. What is the Kingdom Handbook we're talking about? The Lord's Prayer. That's right. Some people would say the entire Sermon on the Mount there in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7 is the Kingdom Handbook. Others would say, anyway, the Lord's Prayer is kind of a little encapsulation of some things that Jesus thought were really important to teach his disciples to do, namely, how to pray. So we're going through the Lord's Prayer, and today we're on the third point, if you will, in the Lord's Prayer. So how about you just close your eyes and pray with me? I'm sure you all know it. Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us our daily bread. Stop there. Give us our daily bread, Lord. I don't know how many of us have gone without bread for a while, but Lord, we pray this morning and today you would teach us to receive our daily bread from you with gratitude and with confidence in your provision. Lord, speak to our hearts today by your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you want to silently finish the rest of prayer, you may. So, when you think of daily bread, probably many of us have prayed this since childhood, right? I have. I was taught it way, way back in Sunday school and reinforced in family. Daily bread. What comes to your mind? A loaf of bread, a flat piece of pita bread like they have in the Middle East, you know? Arepas, yes, of course. Made with that wonderful white cornmeal, right? Yeah. Well, I really think, and some expositors would agree, some commentators would agree, that when Jesus said this to his disciples in that day and in that place, one of the things that probably burst into their mind was the daily bread that their ancestors, their forefathers, received in the wilderness. Because that daily bread from God, is that story is told and repeated and referred to many times in the Old Testament. And so the story is in Exodus chapter 16, and I think that, at least I think that's where it is, I'm not at that point in my notes yet, but that you remember the story, most of us, of what happened there. The Israelites had become slaves in Egypt. Didn't start off that way, but it ended up that way. And they were in forced labor, and God delivered them from Egypt. So he sent Moses to lead them, and he did these 10 powerful demonstrations of his power before the Pharaoh, king of Egypt, would release them. Ultimately, he did. And then they got out of ways, and he changed his mind. You know, and he decided to go back after them if they needed that forced labor. And what did God do? He opened up the sea. Israelites passed through. He closed it up on the Egyptians. I mean, these are some amazing miracles that God did to show his power, not just to his people, but to all the people in that region of the world. They heard about it. They heard about it. On top of that, God showed his presence with his people. How? The cloud. A cloud by day that was dark, and a cloud by night that was fiery. Don't know if it was lightning or what, but it was fiery is the way it's described. Now, you know, a lot of us probably have wished at some time in our lives for such a demonstration of God's presence and power, right? Lord, if you would only do something dramatic, then I would believe you more, right? Then I would have something to really hold on to and know that you're with me, you're guiding me. Did this work for the Israelites? Not so much. Not so much. In fact, only a month and a half after they were out of Egypt, They were complaining. Complaining. Why? They were running out of food. Or they had run out of food. What's going to happen? Sure, we have this fiery cloud at night. Dark cloud by day. What's going to happen? We're going to starve out here. And here's what they began to say to Moses. I'm just going to read to you from the New Living Translation. It's not going to be on the screen, so just follow along with me. Then the whole community of Israel set out from Elim and journeyed into the wilderness of Sin, interesting name, between Elim and Mount Sinai. They arrived there on the 15th day of the second month, 1 month after leaving the land of Egypt, and there too the whole community of Israel complained about Moses and Aaron. First they were complaining about water. God solved that. Now they're complaining about food to Moses and Aaron. If only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt, they moaned. There we sat around with pots filled with meat and ate all the bread we wanted, but now you've brought us into this wilderness to starve us all to death. They're saying this to Moses and Aaron, his brother. Then the Lord said to Moses, look, I'm going to rain down food from heaven for you. Each day, the people can go out, pick up as much food as they need for that day, and I'll test them in this to see whether or not they will follow my instructions. So Moses and Aaron said to all the people of Israel, by evening you'll realize it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. You didn't realize it before? You know? You'll realize it was the Lord that brought you out of Egypt. Now I lost it. And as Aaron spoke to the whole community of Egypt, of Israel, they looked out toward the... This is a big type. You'd think I could follow it, right? They looked out toward the wilderness when Aaron was telling them the plan here. And what did they see? They saw the awesome cloud showing them the presence of God. Wow. The awesome glory of the Lord in the cloud. Then the Lord said to Moses, I've heard the Israelites' complaints. Now tell them in the evening you'll have meat to eat. And in the morning you'll have all the bread you want. And then you'll know that I'm the Lord your God. That evening, vast numbers of quail flew in and covered the camp. John asked me how deep I thought they were covered on Friday. I don't know. But there were birds everywhere that they could somehow grab and eat. And then there was wetness with dew everywhere. And when the dew evaporated, a flaky substance as fine as frost blanketed the ground. The Israelites were puzzled when they saw it. What is it? They said, and that word translated would be manna. What is it? They asked each other. They had no idea what it was, and Moses told them, it's the food the Lord has given you to eat. These are the Lord's instructions. Each household should gather as much as it needs. Pick up 2 quarts for each person in your tent. So the people of Israel did as they were told. Some gathered a lot, some only a little, but when they measured it out, everyone had just enough. Those who gathered a lot had nothing left over. Those who gathered only a little had enough. Each family had just what it needed. Then Moses told them, do not keep any of it till morning. But some of them didn't listen and kept some of it until morning. But by then it was full of maggots and had a terrible smell. And Moses was very angry with them. So as you think about that story that God's given us from his people Israel, what's the main thing the Lord was doing here? He was providing food for them. Yeah. He was stopping the complaining for a little while. That happened again, of course. What was the main thing he was doing? Parenting them, teaching them to follow his instructions, right? And teaching them to trust him. I think in verse 4, this is what it says. Then the Lord said to Moses, look, I'm going to rain down food from heaven for you each day. Each day the people can go out and pick up as much food as they need for that day. And I'll test them in this to see whether or not they will follow my instructions. And trust me, day by day. So Jesus told his disciples to ask the Heavenly Father, give us today our daily bread. I don't think that's exactly a test, but it is instruction. Give us today our daily bread. He apparently wanted them to develop this day-by-day faith in God to provide for them and to express it to the Father. See, sometimes we might just think it's good enough to think it. Jesus actually taught them to express it to the Father. Isn't that interesting? So, I don't know if you're in a wilderness today. I don't know if you're really learning to see the Heavenly Father as your Lord and as your provider. But you know what? If you're not in it today, there's a good chance you'll be in it tomorrow. Because God wants us, each one, to learn that lesson of walking by faith with Him, following Jesus. You know, it's easy to forget about trusting God for things day by day, isn't it? We get so caught up in doing our jobs, trying to make ends meet, and that's good. We should do our jobs. But somehow it seems like only when we begin to sense a little bit of desperation that we really turn to God and trust Him instead of what we can do. I think maybe that's one aspect of fasting and why the Bible teaches that followers of Jesus sometimes fast from food, because it helps us learn to trust God. Just that little bit of hunger, that little bit of emptiness, that little bit of desperation can sometimes cause us to turn to God and be more thankful and more faithful. Amen. So, what does this refer to? Is this talking about bread and bread alone? I think not. In fact, if you look back a few chapters earlier, let me go a little bit later here, Matthew 6, and Jesus continues this lesson, okay? This is a little bit later in Matthew chapter 6, starting verse 24. He says, "No one can serve two masters. You'll hate the one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You can't serve both God and money," a.k.a. stuff. You can't put your trust in God and in stuff. That's why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear, isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Of course. Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your Heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you more valuable to Him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Jenny talked this morning about worrying. The answer, of course, is not. And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today, thrown into the fire tomorrow, will He certainly care for you? Why do you have so little faith? The issue is faith. And then here's verse 33. "Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He'll give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today." Let me go back. Verse 31. "Don't worry about these things, saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear?' These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your Heavenly Father already knows all your needs." That's the New Living Translation of 31. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. Jesus wants His disciples to live as believers, not unbelievers. And part of that is trusting God for daily bread, for daily needs, to realize that we have a Lord, we have a King, God Almighty, who knows of our needs and who's fully able to provide for our needs and who will provide for our needs if there are true needs. Have Christians ever been hungry? Have Christians ever died of starvation? Yes. Was God unfaithful? No. No. He provided for the real needs. What are the real needs? Well, let's talk about that for a little bit. The New International Version translates verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Is that a promise that we're going to be wealthy? That we'll have a nice car, Jafir? That we will, you know? No, it's not a promise of that. Okay? But it is a promise that we can trust God with our true needs, and at the right time and in the right way, he'll meet them. Now, a lot of times we don't, as I said, really appreciate this until we go through a time of testing. And God's answer to the test may not be what we want or expect. I know we had an experience in our family just this year because half of our family income comes from rental property. And, I mean, the church provides for us some, but half of it comes from our rental property. And in the last 2 years, tens of thousands of new rental properties have been built in College Station. Tens of thousands. The market's flooded. And so we went into our normal leasing season, even though our leases just begin in August, in this crazy market we live in, people sign leases in January, February, March, right? You know it if you've lived here a while. So we have we actually hired our friends at the leasing spot to help us with this. The signs went out end of January. We usually have all of our places leased by spring break or at the latest by Parents Weekend in April. We had none, not one. And you know, the interesting thing about property like that as a business is that whether the rent money's coming in or not, the taxes and insurance have to be paid. So for us, that would be a $12,000 to $14,000 expense in the coming year with no income to cover it. Not to mention what we would normally use to feed our family and pay our bills. It was a real test. So April, no leases. May, not one. June, one. July, none. So what did we do? Well, we just prayed. We have the family together for a meal or something. Said, God, you're the one that meets our needs. Thank you. We don't know how or if. You know, we may have to cut back severely this year. Maybe next year. May have to sell something. We don't really know, God, but you are our source of supply. And then amazingly, all of our leases are supposed to start August the 10th. And on August the 14th, we had two more leases. And so now we're actually 75% leased. Praise God! Hallelujah! We get to have good food this coming year, you know? Maybe even take a vacation next summer. I don't know. But it didn't have to end that way. But we're confident and we're learning that God will be faithful to provide what we need. So there's another thing that Jesus taught his disciples, though, about this daily bread thing that I want to kind of go back to. And this is back earlier in Matthew 4:4. I think Jesus said, actually, John 6. Let me go over there first because I think I might have a slide on that. Not sure. But Jesus told his disciples about something more important than food, more important than the bread. He said this to them in John chapter 6. I tell you the truth, Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. Moses didn't. My Father did. And now he offers you the true bread from heaven. The true bread of God is, wait for it, the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world is the true bread from heaven, Jesus told them. Sir, they replied, give us that bread every day. So Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But I ask you, did Christians ever starve from lack of food? And you said, yes. So he's talking about something else here. He promised that those who come to him would never be hungry or thirsty. For what? For him. For the true food from heaven. Which, strangely enough, people might look at you and think you're crazy to tell them that. These people probably didn't understand it at the time Jesus said it. But he's offering them life, not just a meal. Life itself. So the daily bread that God the Father wants to give us is not just nourishing food for our bodies. That's important. But it's also real life in him, in his kingdom. The kingdom handbook, in his kingdom. Real life, real spiritual food. A little earlier in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus said, or it's recorded him saying that it's written, man shall not live on what? Bread alone. But on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And Job, despite all of his trials, his testimony was, I have treasured his words more than my daily bread. Wow. So that's one form of spiritual food. You know, there's the real life, Jesus said, is the true bread, and there's the food of God's word. And we get it by feeding on it as his spirit illuminates the word in our hearts and builds up the faith relationship that Jesus and the Father want us to have with him day by day by day. Have you had a meal in the last 24 hours, a physical meal? I hope so. Have you had a spiritual meal in the last 24 hours? I hope so. I hope you're getting a little bit of an appetizer this morning right here, but it's not the whole meal. Yeah. Or have you been on a starvation diet spiritually? A lot of times we go through those periods where we act like we really don't need it. And you know what happens is we get weaker and weaker and weaker. Maybe not in our bodies because we're eating that food, but we're starving ourselves of the spiritual food. Yeah. So I think the worship team can come on up at this point because we're going to express that to God. Now, a couple weeks ago, John's coming up here, so I have to do what he did. A couple weeks ago, John threw things out into the audience, right? And it was candy bars. This is something else, okay? What am I throwing? Pass them back, okay? What did I throw? Our daily bread. Yeah. If you haven't heard of that, it's a free scripture devotional that you can get free. And so I just go to make that point that it wasn't just me that came up with this idea, right? No. Our daily bread is feeding on the life that comes from Jesus and on the words of God. So we have a lot to praise him for. I know our family does. I'm confident that you do too. And so during this time, we want to praise God and thank him and express, not just think, but express our trust in him day by day. So I hope that some of you will go to the prayer mic and do that as we worship. But pray with me right now. Heavenly Father, give us today our daily bread. Jesus taught his disciples that we should ask you for that, that we should trust you for that. Lord, help us to be faithful in not just thinking it and believing, but expressing it to you. Our trust that you are our God and King, you are our provider. The Israelites griped about not having food as good as what they received from their Egyptian slave masters. How ironic is that? Lord, thank you for freeing us from slavery to physical desires or anything on this earth, and bring us into your kingdom of trusting you day by day for real life. In Jesus' name, amen.